Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1984, at the age of 83, my grandma on my dad's side died. She lived in Chicago for most of her adult life, and in her final years was moved to an assisted living retirement home in a suburb of Chicago. So I never really lived in close proximity to her at any point in my life. Once or twice a year, we would make the drive up to Chicago to visit her, but never for very long, maybe a day or two at the most. But I remember that she always had this little glass bowl of pink candies sitting on her table. And each morning with her, our breakfast together would be a piece of toast, buttered and sprinkled with cinnamon and sugar. She was a cute little lady with a very kind, gentle demeanor. She had a great sense of humor. And she loved the Lord. Other than that, I don't really remember a whole lot about her. When she died, I received a homemade magnet that had been on her refrigerator in her house. And I also was given this little white sweater of hers that she used to quite often wear. They were seemingly meaningless, worthless tokens. Except that they both helped keep my grandma alive in my memory. That magnet was always there in her home, front and center on her refrigerator every time we came to visit. And that sweater still had her smell in it. The moment that I touched it to my face, I could smell my grandma. And for an instant, I could almost sense her presence there with me. Aristotle, the great Greek philosopher, in his ontological theory, argued that reality does not exist, nor can it be understood apart from a particular substance. For example, one cannot conceive of the concept of yellow apart from seeing a yellow object. The universal abstract concept of yellow cannot be grasped, and in fact does not exist for Aristotle in his theory, apart from the material, concrete yellow object that we see with our eyes. And thus, in essence, it is the physical object that gives life to the universal concept. What does all that have to do with my grandma's sweater? More importantly, what does it have to do with Maundy Thursday and the Lord's Supper? At this point in time, in April of 2022, my grandma's gone. She's been gone for almost 40 years now. I can't see her or touch her or talk to her anymore. She is nothing more now to me than a memory, and a distant one at that. She exists for me only in my mind. But for a long time after her death, when I would hold her sweater and smell her on that sweater, she was more than a memory. Her smell and that sweater gave me a tangible, palpable, concrete connection to her. Unfortunately, her smell after 38 plus years is now worn off. But I still have the sweater. And so it is that Jesus gave to us a very real, concrete, tangible connection to himself in the sacrament of Holy Communion. You see, apart from this blessed sacrament, Jesus is only a concept to us. He exists for us only in our minds. We've heard about him. We've read about him. We've prayed to him. We've worshiped him. But we've never seen him or touched him or heard him. We have no physical connection to him that is apart from Holy Communion. And thus for the disciples who were with Jesus on the night of his betrayal, and for all of us who would believe in him hundreds and thousands of years later, he instituted this sacrament, the sacrament of his body and his blood, to give us a very real, concrete connection to himself. In the Lord's Supper, in the touchable, tasteable bread and wine of this precious sacrament, the very real body and blood of Christ Jesus are present. And in those moments, as we receive this holy supper, Jesus is more than a story. He's more than a thought. He's even more than a hope. He is a flesh and blood man who gave his life for us that we might be forgiven of our sins. He is someone that we can see, and we can touch, and we can feel. And thus, as we receive Jesus' body and blood, we have this palpable connection to him, to remember him. Even though none of us have yet ever physically met him. Holy Communion serves to take Jesus for us from being a mere abstract concept to a physical subject. Holy Communion helps us to make Jesus real for us and real to us. And thus, at his encouragement and by his direction, we are to receive this sacrament in remembrance of him. This sacrament is to make him real for us as we go through this life thousands of years removed from his ascension. Every time that we gather together as a body of believers to receive the sacrament of his body and his blood in the physical elements of bread and wine, we are to remember him. And remember the sacrifice that he made for us, the sacrifice on the cross, to pay the debt of our sin. You know, we don't need the sacrament of Holy Communion to be forgiven or to be saved. We stand at all times through faith as forgiven and saved people by virtue of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. When we confess our sins, Scripture says that He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. And He is joyed to give us salvation, to give that to all who call on His name. And thus, we don't take the sacrament of Holy Communion merely to receive forgiveness of sins. Now, we do receive forgiveness of sins, to be sure. But that's only a fraction of what we receive as we eat of His body and drink of His blood. You see, most importantly, Holy Communion is not about what we receive, but about who we receive. We receive Jesus. We connect with Jesus. We see and feel and touch and experience Jesus. And so we remember Him in a very tangible way, even though we have yet to see Him face to face. That is the beauty of the Lord's Supper. That is the compassionate genius of Jesus, that He has given us a way to physically remember Him, physically connect with Him, even though we have only ever abstractly known Him. And that's why we should desire to partake of this meal and to partake of it often. For in eating the bread and drinking the wine, we receive the body and the blood of Christ Jesus. And we remember our Savior Jesus. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.